Last year, a coalition representing nearly all local governments and schools statewide appeared before a House panel urging change in a state tax policy on large retail properties that stands to drain local coffers. A 2013 decision by the appointed Michigan Tax Tribunal has allowed so-called dark stores to pocket more than $75 million in local tax refunds by favoring assessments that treat large retail properties as virtually empty. Legislation to address the issue in Michigan barely moved in 2015, but dark store tactics are spreading, and local governments say if something is not done soon, tax rates and/or services to the community at large will have to change. We'll focus on the Upper Peninsula as we talk about competing interests, what's been done, and where it's going next on Media Meet. Hello and welcome to WNMU's Media Meet. I'm Bill Hart. Our guests are Marquette County Commissioner Joe DeRosa, Marquette County Undersheriff Mike Klein, Michigan Education Association Director Stuart Skoog, and Bright Store Initiative spokeswoman Fran Darling. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
We should begin with some further introductions. If you could tell us briefly, we'll start with you, Mike, about the organization you represent and your interest in the dark store issue.
Represent the Marquette County Sheriff's Office as undersheriff. Mm-hmm. Interest in the dark store issue is how it's going to affect our mandated and non-mandated services throughout Marquette County.
I see. Fran?
Yes, I'm here to represent a small grassroots group in the community called Bright Store Initiative from the Save Marquette Save Michigan group. And our interest is purely in our local culture, economy, and community at large.
Okay. Stuart?
I'm the Uniserv director from the Michigan Education Association. I represent all the school employees in Marquette and Alger County. I'm their union representative. We're especially concerned about the impact these dark stores, as they get reassessed, is going to have on our school funding, and it affects it several ways. A lot of people don't even realize at this point how bad it can get, but we're very concerned.
Okay. And Joe?
I represent District 2, Marquette County. I have seven townships in my district, and we have the townships of Nagani, Ishpeming, Ely, Humboldt, Champion, Mishigami, and Republic.
What we usually call the West End.
The West End. Okay. And we also have two state representatives in my district, uncommon like others. We have the 109th and the 110th.
Okay. The Upper Peninsula appears to have led the way in the effort across Michigan to address revenue losses related to revaluation of big box stores. Refunds of money already spent, in some cases with interest, is in the tens of millions of dollars statewide. What sorts of losses have we seen to date in Marquette County? Joe?
From Marquette County as of to date, mm-hmm. Which would be up to 2015 tax year, we've written a check for $2,044,000 to the penny. So significant okay. Revenue payback.
Yeah.
Also, our colleagues next door, Dickinson County, I believe, is $1.3 million paid back.
Mm-hmm.
Delta's similar.
Okay. Now, some have commented that the actual effect is not quite visible at this point, that down the road it's going to look a lot worse. What do you say, Mike?
I'm going to say it's going to look a lot worse, we believe. We're not exactly sure of the direct impact right away, but down the road we're looking at, again, I mentioned earlier about mandated and non-mandated services
yeah.
that we provide to our citizens of Marquette County. For example, mandated, we have to maintain a county jail.
Mm-hmm.
The unmandated is having a road patrol.
Okay.
And we also have services, say, central dispatch, search and rescue. All those areas could be affected by these dark store issues.
Okay. The similar cases emerged in Kalamazoo, Mason, and Ottawa counties, to name a few downstate. There are cases now across the country, in states like Ohio and Indiana, where this has had an effect. What are some of the other UP communities reporting similar shortfalls due to tax decisions? Do we know anything about that?
Again, back to Dickinson County, $1.3 million payback.
Was that the Brighting Township?
Yes.
Thing? Okay.
Along with, again, they have the Verso paper issue and a few others.
That's right, Quinnesec paper mill.
It's my understanding they came to an agreement on the tax that was paid, so they didn't have to go to the tribunal. So there was a substantial reduction there as well.
Okay. Now, in terms of schools or school districts, it's fairly complicated, is right, Stuart?
It is. It kind of hits the schools on two different fronts. And a lot of people think, well, the state is funding the schools. But what the state does is they guarantee each school district, for now it's about $7,300 per student.
Yeah.
And first of all, the schools collect their local taxes, and then the state makes up the difference between what they've collected locally and the $7,300 per kid. So as the dark stores come into an effect in the evaluation, the local evaluation, the local taxes are going to go down. That means the state share goes up. And so for now, the schools on their general operating maintain the same level, $7,300 per kid. The problem is this spreads throughout the state. There's not going to be enough state money to make up that difference.
Okay.
It's just starting in Market Colony and spreading to others, and it's just now beginning to hit the schools. The other way it hits the schools is through their millage. Marquette's an example. For example, they're talking about going out for millage to build a new gym and some more classrooms in Marquette. That millage, if passed by the voters, they go out and bond that and get money for it. Then that millage is not subsidized by the state. So when the dark stores like Lowe's and Target and those, when their evaluation goes down, it shifts the cost or the burden of that millage onto the other taxpayers.
Okay.
I'll give you a good example. I talked to the Marquette School Assistant Superintendent, Deb Berry, and she already told me that just for Lowe's alone, in the 2013 year, they had to repay them $66,344. Now, that's just for that year. In 2014, they gave another $66,350 rebate, and that's just off that millage portion.
Yeah.
So that's a total of $132,000, and that $132,000 then had to be translated into the other taxpayers picking up that difference because they have to meet their bond payments. So there is some real concern there. Also, I have to say, Bill, that a lot of the communities I represent with the schools, they're small and they don't have box stores.
Yeah.
But again, when the state aid is affected in the state of Michigan, which is usually sales tax, but when they don't have enough money in that state aid to make up these differences, it's going to be spread among all the schools evenly. You know, it's $7,300 per kid for every school district. So some of these smaller districts are thinking, well, we don't have a target or anything. We don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to be surprised when it hits.
Okay. Fran, you've had the opportunity to interact with a lot of smaller businesses.
Right.
What's their response to this?
Bill, well, and basically our group, Save Marquette, Save Michigan, was formed right after the effects were felt on Public Library, Peter White Public Library. And
which had to close on Sundays.
Which automatically cut back hours.
Losses.
They were paying back the same kind of thing as the schools were asked to do. They had to return money that was already gone out of their budget, basically. So this was a year ago, February, this all started, and local citizens were very concerned. And through that idea of what to do, on a positive note, you know, where can any of this be changed around maybe to a better viewpoint? And we came up with the idea of BRITE. And BRITE is our representation of for businesses recognizing the importance of tax equality. And by that, we basically do put boots on the ground and go store to store with local businesses and asking them to, well, first of all, just our main goal is education and information. Like Stu says, many people just don't know this is happening because it hasn't hit home yet.
What's the tax equality issue for these people?
Well, the tax equality issue, like you say, somebody's going to have to make up the difference. So we're asking them to become a bright store, and by doing so, they acknowledge that the tax equality is sort of in jeopardy, and we're asking them to recognize it, basically not to, you know, make a commitment of how they're going to run their businesses for the rest of their life, but basically to not exploit the dark store tax loophole as a business. Local businesses, we know, contribute 40 to 60% back to the community for their overall sales because they work with each other. They work with other businesses. They stay in the community, and that's a tax base you can count on. It doesn't come today and go tomorrow. So we're trying to recognize that and support them while they are basically supporting the community every day.
Okay. Let's review the so-called dark store tax theory. Do you have a comment on that, Joe?
Yeah, I just wanted to...
Small businesses don't have this option in most cases.
Yeah, aside from the cause and effect to this is huge across Market County.
Yeah.
We're talking about $2,044 paid back. And the impact to that, we've had to close a youth home. Significant impact. Children... that's a big deal.
Children at risk.
That's a big deal. We have seven unions, services providing, retirements. Everybody feels the pain to this, and it comes from somewhere, and it comes from all of the... We've got 360, 380-plus employees. We end up going the wrong direction, and we have a... Of course, a fiscal responsibility to 69,000 residents in Market County, and to have a solid financial plan and continue to provide services. So this is a real impact to Market County and the services that get provided to the community.
There's search and rescue is affected, I believe, Mike. They had how many calls last year? Was it in the hundreds?
I believe it was like 120-something or like that. Yeah, we do. And that group is made up basically of volunteers that show up. So there's really not. But that is the one area that we took a hit in our budget this past year.
Okay.
Of almost $6,000.
All right.
And like I said, most of it's volunteer anyway. So that's a real significant hit for that group of people who really come in because they want to be there to help the citizens of Marquette County.
Sure.
And we couldn't do our job without them.
I'd hate to have
you know, Bill, I wanted to add, too. I was on the Ishpeming City Council for several years, and I saw the evolution of the big stores coming into Marquette. There used to be a viable business district downtown Ishpeming. That's completely gone. You know, there's some stores that still support a bedroom community in Marquette. But when those big stores come in, a lot of their revenue leaves the area through the corporate headquarters. I mean, we had all the mom-and-pop shops in Marquette, Ishpeming, Nagani. That revenue went round and round many times. So already they're pulling money from this area through the through these box stores out of our area. And now this is like a second hit where they're also going to, instead of paying their fair share of the taxes, cut those so they're no longer even paying that amount. At least we were getting some tax revenue off of it.
Okay. Let's talk about this. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I guess I was going to just talk about a fair and equitable tax policy. Mm-hmm. And from a small business perspective, and I've been in business since 1983, this dark store theory that the tax tribunal has allowed to happen has created an unprecedented percentage, increase a percentage on small businesses because the services that get provided, now the big box store pays less. So the remainder of services get levied onto small business. So it's an unfair increase in tax, I guess, would be how I would say it, on small business.
Unfair distribution of benefits.
Absolutely. No question.
That's exactly what we're trying to focus on, that information. Mm-hmm. And the Bright Store people are actually helping us do that. We give them literature that they keep in their stores. We encourage by through our website and Facebook, people shopping at their stores, just like so Stu says, the communities stay vibrant. They stay alive. They're cultural centers. They're really what a community is all about. And right now we have over 107 that have signed on in the greater Marquette County. And the whole process, the initiative, was worked on by the group and created a little toolkit. And this is designed to be available to any other community that would like to do so. In fact, Delta County has a Save Delta, Save Michigan, and they are also doing Bright Stores in the Escanaba area. So, you know, it's trying to focus people back into their own communities.
I want to talk about the dark store theory here. The dispute really centers on how large retail properties are valued for tax purposes. There are three ways of doing this traditionally in Michigan. One is the tried and true method of using construction costs minus depreciation. I think they cut that in half and they come up with a value. The other is how much income a property produces. And the third is derived from comparable sales of similar stores. Now, as I understand it, cities and counties generally favor the construction cost method, while big franchises insist on the comparable sales method. So what's wrong with that in straight practical terms, Joe?
Straight practical terms, the tax tribunal is appointed by the governor.
Mm-hmm.
The tax tribunal board has deemed to allow closed, blighted properties
mm-hmm.
to be used as comparables. And if you're Mr. Shapiro, who represents the big box store, that's
okay.
A good thing for him and his clients. But it is a flawed methodology. It shouldn't be allowed.
Okay.
I guess we can talk about the...
Well, Shapiro says case law right up to the Supreme Court seems to favor this. It says true cash value of a property is unaffected by who owns or uses it. Success is not relevant in determining the cash value of a property. What do you say to that observation?
Mr. Shapiro and the courts, I would suspect, are correct, but they're mm-hmm. using blighted, closed mm-hmm. property. In other words, instead of taking good quality comparables to arrive at a fair and just...
Yeah, what is actually comparable?
What is comparable,
that's the way most people would see it, anyway.
The heat is on, the water's running,
mm-hmm.
we know what the building is. And also, the other piece to this is these buildings that we're talking about are specifically tailor-built for the big box store. They're either, the Target, the red in color, I don't mm-hmm. want to use...
They're
built
all boxes.
Specifically for their... retail sales.
Mm-hmm.
So design and built for them exclusively. So to resell and remarket that as a retail usually requires, some substantial remake and changes.
Okay.
So,
Bill, you talk to the man on the street and they read about this issue. They've said to me, if Lowe's or Target or some of these stores can use a blighted store in Flint as a comparable, why can't I use a blighted house in Detroit mm-hmm. to evaluate my house? And, it's just as ridiculous.
Be
it's
careful what you ask for, Mr. Scoob. That may happen.
Yeah,
that
could very well
may
could
happen across
yeah.
Michigan if this
yeah.
continues.
Well, you can see. Yeah. Why not? It'd be fair
it's
as
wide
fair.
Open. Wide
yes.
Open.
The right now, as it stands, the one challenge the big challenge we know of for Marquette County and Brighton Township was they lost in the appellate court. They said it was a misapplication of the law. And the Supreme Court refused to hear the case. Now, courts have refused to reverse any local assessments decided by the tribunal. And the state now, under Proposal A, I believe it would block any changes in cases like that, right?
That's correct. The Proposal A would stand and... it'll probably take 20 years to get back to the value that we started at with the proposal A cap.
That doesn't leave local governments with much in terms of further challenges. So we're looking at legislation of some kind. Where are we at this point? We have the You know, we have bills that have been offered by three representatives in the Upper Peninsula. Two of them have survived, but they're not moving very fast.
Right.
What would you say?
Well, I can certainly speak to some of that. Yesterday, I spoke with David Matern. He's the 63rd rep.
Right, 63rd district,
who is been tasked and charged with this dark store issue. Mm-hmm. And I had an opportunity to have a lengthy conversation with him yesterday to get the latest and greatest update.
Yeah.
There were three work groups that were held, two hearings.
Okay.
We presented...
We had a petition, that's right, that was another signature.
We presented at the hearing.
Part of the Save
over
Market,
2000
Save Michigan. Yep.
Signatures at that time and made comments and remarks. I actually jotted some notes down from Dave's where he's at.
Okay.
We're going to see in the next week.
All right.
There will be some... form of a blue back being written next week.
Okay.
He wants to reach out to several entities yet to have one more meeting to shore things up. The chamber, he was going to reach out to them as well. And Dave indicated to me that they were pursuing the flaw in the tax tribunal issue to shore up having the tax tribunal not use blighted property in the comparables.
Okay.
He did not want to peel open the Property Tax Act.
I see.
He talked about that the Property Tax Act has worked well for 100 years.
General Property Tax Act.
And now
in
all
Michigan.
Of the, correct. Now, mm-hmm. because of... some changes on the Tax Tribunal Board and some new approaches to this doesn't mean they want to try to rewrite the Tax Act.
The Indiana had some success in doing this, as a matter of fact. They basically said that new properties or those less than 10 years old should be valued using the cost approach. In cases where comparable sales are used, the comparables can't be properties that have been sitting vacant for more than a year, or properties with deed restrictions on them. Isn't that sort of the direction we're going here with the work group?
Yes, it's my understanding. I don't know that they're going to take up and go after the deed restriction.
Okay, that's the bill. Deed restrictions is really the bill that Representative Keevil is working on, right?
Yes.
Which is an amendment to the zoning
Right,
act.
That would be a local zone, right, to try to control locally... and stipulate zoning control on deed restriction.
But doesn't that have an effect on... I've heard that that has an effect that could lead to more blighted properties in some cities.
I suppose.
Well, a lot of people don't even know what that is, but a good example of it is ProBuild up there in the corner across from Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
ProBuild went out. Somebody paid ProBuild already to put a deed restriction, probably gave them maybe $100,000, whatever it was.
Okay.
Somebody gave them a deed restriction on there so that they would not sell that property to another box store, say Myers.
Competitor.
Yeah.
A competitor. Now, I see now that there is a car dealership going in there, and that must have been okay with the restriction. But how long could a property sit like that with some kind of a strict restriction on there, and then, of course, it sits and turns into blighted property after a few years?
Sometimes they last a little longer by becoming roller rinks or something
exactly.
like that, but the tax value then is considerably reduced. So the it's had an effect in a lot of directions. The some say Indiana was successful in changing the law because it attempted to balance interests by compromising. I guess the concern here is what changes could local governments affected by dark store tax reversals live with? What kinds of changes could they live with, you think?
Well, I certainly think there needs to be a fair and equitable, and I'll put a shout out to Representative Matern because he wants a level playing field. He recognizes that
This is a guy with 30 years in the business, a real estate appraiser, and he's a Republican. Go ahead.
Correct. And he wants to be comfortable with a fair and equitable plan to put this back where it needs. And I think they recognize that when you go from an average of $78 or $80 a square foot to an assessment of $20, $25, mm-hmm. That's unjust for everyone else.
Okay. And in a way, it's fortunate for those who advocate changes that this representative is from Kalamazoo, where they went through a problem similar to this on a couple of stores, I understand, right?
Right, right. You know, Marquette County hasn't been laying in the weeds on this one. We've been on the forefront. We've spent $110,000between tax professionals, whether it's up front on the scenes or behind the scenes, and lobbyists to make this thing happen. And again, working with tax policy committee, trying to keep things moving is key.
The Mike, what's
I might add to that. You also, Marquette County, the commissioners sent a group down state to educate all the other commissioners down in these other counties downstate that really had no idea that this was going on.
Places like that.
So again, Marquette County has led the way in educating the state of Michigan about this problem.
We've got about maybe a minute and a half here. Mike, what's the cost of not acting as you see it right now, especially in areas like police and fire?
Well, I tell you, everything's going to get hit. We talked earlier about the youth home being closed. That hurts, okay? Now we're going to have to use resources that we barely have enough as it is to transport these youth down someplace else, say Bay Pines or downstate. A lot of these places, it's the bedding now. Just where do you find a bed that you could put somebody and house these people? Yeah. So it's stretching our resources thin. We're not talking of going just to the youth home that's just, you know, in the city limits, right? We got to run them all the way downstate, 8, 9, 10 hours away. And that's going to affect us. I don't think we're not sitting. Clearly, Marquette County's not sitting on anything. Yeah. And we're just sitting. But what I like about this is everybody's coming at it from a different way. It's not just a head-on. We're going to come in over the top, from behind, underneath, from the side, a bunch of different ways, because I believe, I've said it before, there's too many good people working at this for this not to succeed. Okay. And that's what I believe in.
I think we're going to have to leave it there for time. We've been talking about the dark store issue with Marquette County Commissioner Joe DeRosa, County Undersheriff Mike Klein, Michigan Education Association Director Stuart Skoog, and Bright Store Initiative spokeswoman Fran Darling. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
I'm Bill Hart. Thanks for joining us on Media Meet.
The preceding program was produced in studios located in the Edgar L. Hardin Learning Resources Center by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television.